If you would, open your Bibles again with me to Numbers chapter 21. As you're turning, I know this is in the bulletin, you read it, but just to be sure everybody's clear, our vacation Bible school, we will begin next Sunday evening, go through Tuesday evening. And I ask of you to be much in prayer about this very important week. This is a week I always look forward to. It's an important time of teaching, being together with our young people. I pray that you'll keep them in your prayers for that week. Well, it'd be good if I got the right notes out. Numbers chapter 21. For those who are visiting, I tell you, we've been going through a series of questions that I find asking the Bible, trying to look at those questions and see an answer to them. And the question I want us to look at this morning is, has God brought us here to die? The children of Israel asked that question at least five times during the time that they were in the wilderness. Has God brought us here to kill us in the wilderness? They ask it in verse 5 here of Numbers 21. The people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now that is a question that is so full of unbelief, so full of sin, and just outright rebellion. That's all you can say about it. For those of you who hear me preach regularly, you have heard often the grace of our God preached. And we love that, don't we? What a subject we love to hear. The sovereign saving grace of our God. And our text this morning gives us a striking example of how rich and how free God's grace to sinners really is. How would you think God would answer this question? God, did you bring us out of Egypt to bring us here to kill us in the wilderness? Is that why you did this? Might we expect God to say, well, I was going to bring you to the promised land, but you're so rebellious, you're so sinful, you're so ungrateful. Now I am going to destroy you. I'm going to start over with a new people, a new nation that'll be less rebellious and more thankful than you. Would it have shocked you if God would have answered their question like that? But instead, God's gracious answer to their question, have you brought us here to kill us in the wilderness, is look and live. Look to the brazen serpent lifted up on the pole, and you'll live. What a gracious answer to such a sinful question. Does that just make you anew stand amazed at God's presence? In our sin and our rebellion directed straight at God Almighty, His answer to that question is look and live. Now you might be here this morning thinking, must I die? Must I be damned? I mean, I know God's going to damn somebody. Must I be damned? And God's answer to you this morning is look and live. That's God's answer to you. You know, when I was a little boy, I often thought this. I thought, mentally, I understand the gospel. I mean, the gospel is easy enough for any child to understand. I understood the gospel. I was very well taught. And mentally, I believed it was true. If there's a God, this gospel is the only gospel that's true. If there is a God, this gospel is the only way God can save sinners. I believe that. Mentally, I knew that was true. But this is what troubled me. I knew I did not trust Christ in my heart. And I tried and couldn't make myself trust Him. And I thought, if I don't trust Christ, it'd be better off for me if I was never born in the first place. I really did think that. I mean, I thought, well, I can't make myself trust Christ. It must be too late. God must have allowed me to be born, to be raised in a home where the sound of the gospel was a constant. God must have done that just to damn me. And I was so full of fear. I mean, just fear. Oh, it was just miserable. And maybe you feel that way this morning. And as miserable as it would be to feel that way, I hope you do. I hope you do. Because if anybody feels that way this morning, did God bring me here just to damn me? Did God bring me to hear the gospel again just to add to my condemnation? If that's your fear, I want you to listen to me now. Listen. Listen to God's answer to that fearful question. Now listen. This is God's answer to your soul. Look and live. And you say, but preacher, I can't make myself believe Christ. God didn't say make yourself believe, did he? What did God say? Look and live. Look to Christ. Look to Christ and live. Don't make the mistake of looking to your knowledge of the scriptures. Don't look to your, make the mistake of looking to your knowledge of doctrine. Look to Christ. Don't look to what you can understand. I don't understand how God could save me. I don't understand why, you know. Don't look to what you can understand. Look to Christ. Don't look to your religious works. I'd say I got a pretty good read on every single person here. You're around religion a lot, aren't you? Most of you, I know you 2-3 times a week. I'm like, but don't look to your religious works. Now, look to Christ. This is the most fine, most moral people. I trust every last one of you with everything I got. Don't look to your morality. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. And don't look to your sin. Don't look to your sin and say, oh, that's too great. God won't save me. Or on the other hand, don't look to your sin and see, now if I'm sinning less, maybe God loved me. Maybe God saved me if I start sinning less. Don't look to your sin. Look to Christ. That's God's answer to you and to me this morning. Look to Christ. Now let's look at this passage this morning. See, maybe the Holy Spirit would be pleased. Wayne just read to us, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth to me. Maybe he'll be pleased to blow and give us faith this morning. And give us the joy. I want us to see the joy. Now this is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. This is not a request. This is a commandment from God Almighty. Look and live. Look to Christ. I want us to find the joy in this commandment this morning. Now the fiery serpents that the Lord sent, they came and bit the people. They represent sin. Those serpents were everywhere. I mean in everything. I don't know if they had sleeping bags or bedrolls or what they had in the, but you go in your tent, you lift up a pot, there's these snakes. You open up your bed, there's snakes. I mean, these snakes are everywhere. There's no escaping these. And the Lord sent these fiery serpents because of the sin of unbelief. It's the sin of unbelief. And the venom of this snake bite was 100% fatal. Everyone who was bitten died. Now snakes, these snakes in particular, and their venom, that's an awful good picture of sin. Almost everybody hates snakes. I know there's a few people that are, love them or whatever, but most people hate snakes. I mean, they're just creepy. That's all, they're creepy. That's all you can say about them. Our son Doug hates snakes as much as anybody I know. We were planning a family outing one time. We thought, well, we're going to go rent a pontoon boat. We'll find some lake in Kentucky. We'll rent a pontoon boat. We'll spend the day on the boat and jump off the boat into the water and just have a whole day of family fun, you know. And Doug said, well, I'll go. I'll get on the boat. But I will not jump in that water unless there's less than a 5% chance of seeing a water snake. And he immediately began researching venomous snakes in the state of Kentucky. And he gave us this whole big lecture of all the venomous snakes in Kentucky and where you can find them and what the best lake for us to go. The man hates snakes. I mean, and I don't blame him. I'm kind of with him. I wish we could hate our sin and run from it as much as me and Doug would run from a snake. I wish, but there are good pictures of what sin does to us. Sin does to you and me what that snake venom did to the people it bit. It kills us from the inside out. And there's no antidote for it. There's no cure for it. There's no treatment for it. There's no way to avoid it. You're going to get bitten. And when you're bitten, you're going to die. You and I have already been bitten. We were bitten about 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. We've already been bitten, and sin's killing every one of us in this room. Every one of us. There's no antidote. I said there's no cure. Well, there's no man-made cure, is there? But God, in His amazing grace, provided a way to live for these rebels. Look to the brazen serpent lifted up on the pole. And when you look, you'll live. Now those fiery serpents, that's a good picture of sin. The brazen serpent is a good picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God who appeared in the flesh. The brazen serpent, Moses made it to look like just an exact replica of those fiery serpents that were biting the people and their venom was killing the people. The brazen serpent looked just like those fiery serpents. But there was one exception. The brazen serpent didn't have any venom. There's no venom in its body. And that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think, Frank, that's silly. Of course there's no venom in a brass serpent. It's made out of brass. Of course not. Well, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came in the flesh. And there's no sin in Him. People like to argue, well, could Christ have sinned? No, He couldn't have sinned any more than there could be venom in that brass. He's the Son of God. Of course He can't sin. There's no venom in Him. There's no nature of sin in Him. The Apostle John said that the Word, Christ Himself, the Word, was made flesh. The Son of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. And the Lord Jesus looked just like any other man. He didn't go around with a halo on his head. You know, everybody at that time was kind of short. He wasn't 6'4" and stood head and shoulders above everybody. He looked just like everybody else. Everybody. And here's a way I know. I mean, I know that, but here's another way I know that. The people who heard Him preach, you know why they wanted to kill Him? He said, I am. They knew what He meant. Before Abraham was, I am. That's the name of God Almighty. And they said, it's not right to the man take that name to himself. That's blasphemy. We'll want to kill Him. He looked just like every other man. They thought He was just a man. But here's the thing. Jesus of Nazareth is God. He can say I am because He is. That's His name. He is God. He looked like a man in every way. He was bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He was a real man. But just as truly, He's God Almighty. Isaiah said His name is the Eternal Father. So He looks like every other man, except there's no sin in Him. There's no venom of sin in Him that demands death. And that's what the brazen serpent pictures. Brass is an alloy. It's a combination of two metals combined. I didn't look this up. There's a recipe for it. You combine it in just the right amount of these two metals, tin and copper. And you combine those in just the right percentages, and you got brass. Well, that's a picture of the two natures of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is both God and man. He's the God-man. And He's not 50% God and 50% man. The ratio is He's 100% God and 100% man. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure the math of that out. Just look. Just look. Brother Scott Richardson gave the best definition of the God-man I've ever heard. He's as much God as if He were not man. And He's as much man as if He were not God. 100% God and 100% man. And this is so important Because those two natures of Christ, that's what enables him to save sinners like you and me. He's God. So he's holy. He's righteous. He'll obey God's law perfectly in every jot and every tittle. He'll please the Father in every way. His every action, his every movement, his every thought, his every motive pleased his Father. He's got the nature of God so he can establish righteousness. And he's man. He's got the nature of man so he can be our representative. So when he obeyed the law, he could be our representative. We could be in him obeying the law. He was made a real man so he could take the sin of his people and be sacrificed for them. Oh, they offered many sacrifices of lambs and bulls and goats, didn't they? But the blood of animals could never put away sin. If man's sin is going to be put away, man's blood must be shed. God doesn't have blood. So God became a man. So he'd have perfect blood to shed to put away the sin of his people. Those two natures of Christ are vitally important. That's what enables him to save sinners like us. Now Moses must make a brazen serpent. But then the Lord said it has to be lifted up on a pole. Moses couldn't make that brazen serpent and go around and bend down and everybody that's sick and dying and laying there and say, now look at this brazen serpent I made. He couldn't take it and show it just right up to everybody's eyes and take it around and show everybody. If he did that, it wouldn't do anybody any good. If a dying person was going to live, that brazen serpent had to be lifted up on a pole. And they had to look at that serpent on a pole. That's exactly what the Savior told Nicodemus. Wayne just read it for us. As Moses lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, even so must. It's not optional. He must be lifted up. Christ must be lifted up on a cross as the sacrifice for the sin of his people. Because the sacrifice of the God-man is the only way sinners could be saved. So God's answer to our sin problem, God's answer to our fears of sin, everything that's caused by our sin, God's answer to it is look to Christ. Look to Christ crucified and live. And live. Now let me give you 3 points on the joy of looking to Christ. This is a joy of looking to him. Number one, looking to Christ takes away all sin. All of it. Look at verse 5 in our text again. The people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now they said, if you brought us here to die in the wilderness, there's no bread and water out here. We're going to die of starvation if we don't die of thirst first. Now that's such a sinful attitude and sinful question. I know for a fact they had manna that very morning. God gave them manna every single morning except the Sabbath. It's a lie for them to say they didn't have any bread. Scripture tells us that smitten rock we looked at last week, I think it was last week, that smitten rock that gave them water followed them in the wilderness. That makes me think they had water from the rock that very morning. Yet they say, we don't have any water. See, they had bread and water. You know why they're complaining? They didn't like what God provided. That was their problem. God provided for them. They just didn't like what God provided. They wanted something more than the sweet manna from heaven. They wanted something more than that pure water from the rock. And that's the natural man. When the natural man hears the gospel of salvation in Christ alone, salvation by grace alone without your works, salvation by faith without your works, man hears that. That is such a sweet message. It's free. Salvation in Christ is free. It's like the manna was free. Just God, open your tent door and pick it up. It's free. And man says, I want something more than that. I want something more complicated than that. I want something more challenging than that. I want something more than Christ alone. Now, friend, there is nothing more sinful than rejecting the only Savior of sinners. The only sin that will damn anyone is the sin of unbelief. It's the only sin that will damn anybody. God sees. He sees. You know, we see our sin, but we don't see it all. We don't see it in its totality. God sees all of the sin of all of His people, and it's all directly against Him. Directly against Him. Every time we sin, it's like shaking our fist in the face of God Almighty. So how do you like that? Those people, God sees them. They can never pay for their sin. They can never atone for their rebellion against God. And God is so gracious. All this sin is directly against Him. He sent the Savior to pay for that sin and to put it away. This just never ceases to amaze me. God's the one who's the wrong party. Yet God is the one who paid the debt. And He paid the debt by sacrificing His beloved Son. Now, can you think of anything more gracious than that? We have a picture of this. The people asked Moses, ask the Lord to take the snakes away. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now this is what we need. We need somebody to come and take away our sin. We need somebody to come and take it away from us. And the only person able to do it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the sin of His people. He took it away from them. He was made sin for us. He made that sin to be His very own. He took the sin of His people and His own body on the tree, and He suffered and died, and He put it away. His blood washed it away so that the Father, who sees everything, says their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He doesn't remember it because there's nothing to remember. Oh my, what a sacrifice. What a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is one that God tells us to look to. Look to Him. He is so wonderful in His person. One sacrifice forever sanctified, a number no man can number. I'm telling you, here's joy in looking to Christ. If Christ died for you, there is no sin left that will ever condemn you. Because He took it away. Now look to Him. Why wouldn't you? This is such a wonderful Savior. Look to Him. Here's the second thing on the joy of looking to Christ. Looking to Christ is 100% successful. Now remember, our sin is so vile because it's directed straight against its rebellion that's directly against God Almighty and His crown rights to rule over us and do with us what He will. God's the one who's been wronged. He's the one that's been sinned against. Yet the message that God has given us to preach says, look to Christ. Look to the Savior who I sent to put away that sin that's against me. Now, don't look for something more appealing to the flesh. You know, if you think, I really don't like that. I think there could be a better way. Now, you'd be mighty careful. Because everything the flesh thinks spiritually is wrong. Everything the flesh desires spiritually is wrong. The way the flesh desires salvation is wrong. God says, if you would live, look to Christ crucified. Look and live. It's that simple. You know, the sin of Israel was so great. I mean, God's long suffering and patience with sinners is seen so clearly in this 40 years in the wilderness. How patiently He dealt with those people. Their sin against Him was so great, they just kept refusing to trust Him, even though time and time and time again how He provided for them. They sin against him yet again. And God's the one who provided the remedy. He said, look to the brazen serpent, lift up on a pole, and you live. The people came to Moses and said, pray that the Lord take the serpents away from us. Now the Lord could have just made the serpents leave, couldn't he? Just like he made them come, he could have made them leave. But that's not what he did. Because he's giving us a picture of redemption from our sin. We can't say, Lord, just make it so I don't sin anymore. Make my sin just go away. No, if sin's going to be put away, there must be a blood sacrifice. That's what the brazen serpent represents. So Moses made that brazen serpent, lifted it up on a pole as a picture of Christ being crucified, lift up on a pole. And everyone, I don't care how sick they were. I don't care how close to death they were. I don't care if they were leading this rebellion against God and against Moses in the first place. Everyone, no matter who they are, no matter where they were, no matter what their past was, everyone who looked at that brazen serpent was healed. 100% healed the moment they looked. And the same thing is true of you and me. Everyone. I don't care their background. I don't care how great they think their sin is. Everyone will be healed of every spiritual disease. Will be given eternal life the moment you look to Christ crucified. Everyone. 100% of sinners who look to Christ live. 100%. Now this looking, I've told you this before too, about growing up hearing Brother Henry preach all the time. He told me look to Christ. He said this before, if I had a nickel for every time he said look to Christ, I mean, it's hard telling how much money I'd have. And every single time he'd say, I'd be so frustrated. I said, where is he? Where is he? Well, it's not turning and looking with these eyes. Looking is believing. Tell you, if you ask the same question, where is he? Just tell me where he is and I'll look. Let me tell you where he is. He's in his word. Don't read God's word to find out how to live. You already know how to live. Look to God's word to find Christ because this is where he is. Where is Christ? He's where the gospel's preached. He's where the gospel's preached. If you would meet him, don't you reckon it'd be a good idea to be where he is? He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of him. You know, we open the doors here every Sunday and Wednesday to preach the gospel. If you'd meet him, I'd be here. The truth, that's what I'd do. I'd be here. Looking is, look where he is. Look where he's to be found, in his word, in the preaching of his gospel. Looking means believing. Looking to Christ simply means this. Trust him to do what he said he did. You know, someone could have been bitten by that fire serpent, and there they lay. They're dying. And they think now, what does this matter? Who cares about? What is it? How can the Lord ever heal me by looking at this brazen serpent Moses made lifted on a pole? That doesn't make any sense to me. Look, because God said look. Now you can trust God to do what he said he'd do. Can we agree on that? Can you trust God to do what he said he'd do? He said, look to Christ and live. Trust that all it takes to save you is Christ crucified. It just takes his blood to wash away your... Look to him. Trust him to do what he said he'd do. Trusting Christ is 100% successful in giving life to everybody who looks to him. Look to Christ. Now don't try God out. Don't test him. So, okay, I'm going to look and see if he's... Look to Christ as the only way it's possible you could be saved. Look to Christ as the only hope that you have and the only hope that you want. Now look to Christ now. Look to Christ. Don't look to your wounds and your bruises and your putrefying sores. Don't look at those snakes when they bit the people. Their mouths must have dried up. Their tongue swelled. Their eyes maybe swelled shut. Don't look to the effects of your sin. Look to Christ. Don't look at other dead and dying people. Well, how fast are they dying? How bad are they? How slow are they dying? How good are they? Maybe I should do what they're doing. Don't look to other sinners. Look to Christ. Don't try to figure out how and why you're dying. God told us in His words, because you're a sinner. That's why. Don't look and try to figure out and see if you can get some clues and figure out if you're one of God's elect. He didn't tell the elect to look to Christ. He said, if you're bitten, look to Christ. Are you a sinner? Look to Christ. Look and live. I promise you, right soon, you'll figure out I looked because He drew me. You'll find that out soon enough. The question for you is, are you a sinner? Huh? Are you guilty? Look and live. That's God's message. Look to Christ crucified. Trust Him. Trust Him. Now the Lord didn't say see, did He? He didn't say understand. He said look. Look. You don't have to understand everything God does, all the whys and wherefores of what God's doing. You don't have to understand. Look. Look to Christ and trust Him. Trust that all it takes to save you is Christ alone. Looking means believing. The word beheld in verse 9, Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. That word beheld means to regard with respect. That doesn't mean just glance at. Regard with respect. Look to Christ with such regard, with such respect, that you trust He's all it takes to save you. Now look to Him. Here's a third thing, and this is a joy. You have to look for yourself. You have to look to Christ for yourself. Your mom and dad can't look for you. Your loved ones, your friends, your pastor can't look for you. You must look to Christ yourself. You must believe on Christ. Now again, let me tell you, I haven't preached grace up to this point. Now I'm starting to give you work to do in order to be saved. I know you can't make yourself trust it. But you can ask God to save you. You can beg Him for mercy. You can look. You can look. Now you must look to Christ yourself. Now that's a gracious commandment. And make no mistake about it. It's a commandment from God Almighty. You look to Christ. But isn't it a gracious commandment? So gracious. Look and live. Think of the joy of this now. This is God's message to you here this morning. It's to you. Look and live. Almighty God, in His mercy and His grace, from eternity ordained you would be here this morning on June the 4th, 2023. And God's message to you, this is such a, oh, what joy this gives to my heart. God says to me, God says to you, look and live. Look to Christ crucified and live. We have a message of hope for sinners. What Moses' message to everybody who was bitten? They're in trouble. His message is look and live. Our message of salvation in Christ for sinners is look and live. What a joy to be able to tell sinners, look and live. Now I'm telling you, the question is, are you a sinner? If you are, look to Christ crucified. And you shall be saved. That's not my doctrine. That's not Calvinistic doctrine. That's not Baptist doctrine. That's a promise of God Almighty. Look and live. And I tell you, keep looking. Keep looking. In every circumstance of life, look to Christ. Are you under the conviction of sin? Huh? Look to Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Are you on the mountaintop of blessing and rest? Has God just blessed you so much? It's just, oh, it just seems like it couldn't get any better right now. Well, I tell you what, look to Christ. He's the one who brought you there. Look to Him. Are you in the valley of trouble and trial, pain, uncertainty? Tell you what, look to Christ. He's able to deliver you. Just as surely as He was able to deliver Daniel from that night in the lion's den, He's able to deliver you. Look. You who believe, did you begin your spiritual life with a look? It began in your experience when you looked to Christ, didn't it? Well, I tell you what, keep going the exact same way that you started, looking to Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 and we'll quit. Keep looking to Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, and the sin which just so easily beset us, it's the sin of unbelief. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Christ crucified. That's when we receive spiritual life. Look to Him. And if you're going to continue running this race with patience, I'm telling you, you can't look at the rocks in the road. You can't look at the hills and the valleys. You can't look at the clouds. You can't look at the difficulties. You can't look at the people running faster than you. I got a lot of experience running long distance races. People running faster than me. You can't be looking at them. Look to Christ. Look to Christ crucified. Oh, I pray God make it so. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank You for this sweet, sweet message that brings such joy to the hearts of sinners that You've given to us to preach. Look to Christ and live. And Father, I beg of You that You'd take Your word as it's been preached this morning, that You would apply it to each and every heart here, that You'd cause us to see the glory of Christ our Savior and trust Him and believe Him. God, I beg of You that this would be the day that You'd be pleased to reach down in mercy, Your mighty right arm of salvation, and reveal Yourself to some lost soul here this morning and to call us to Christ. Father, it's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For His sake and His glory, we pray. Amen. All right, Sean, come lead us in a closing hymn.